Nita's over there kicking me, saying, "Let's go." Okay. Remember where I left off here. Okay, I wanted to. That was actually a really good place to stop. Okay, I'll give you all the little sheets, and when we get a little farther down here, I'll try and explain them. So we had a bunch of questions on it, and believe me, I'm not a very good spreadsheet maker. So if we can do the, let me turn this down a little bit. Is that echoing?
Yeah. What'd you do?
I don't know what I did. Hold on. Hello. Hello. There. Okay. There. Okay. How's that? I noticed I'm about to, you know what drives me crazy? Sometimes I'll go like this and look, I'll be breathing. So I gotta leave my notes looking up, I guess. All right, so we talked about Seth. Let's talk about Cain's guys just a little bit here. Cain means acquisition. The name means acquisition. The issue of fallen man is expressed in the first man born, therefore the elder. So let me say it again. The issue of fallen man is expressed in the first man born, therefore the elder. Expressive of his character and that of all men. I don't know if I wrote that down exactly where I wanted it. So as we see when we go through these lines, these guys had lots of kids. I mean, in 900 years or whatever, you could probably have a bunch of kids, right? But the first one's the one they count. The first one is the one that God kept track of. Not that he didn't keep track of all of them. He did. In that line, I'm sure he did. But these names, as we see this, the names of the line of Seth, and for that line, the meanings of them are remarkable. Remarkable. It's crazy how that... That's still echoing a little bit, Joe. It's still like a... I don't know what I did. 1 Corinthians 15:46 says, first that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. When we talked about Abel, and then Seth, right? Cain's line, we talked, represents the great men of the world. And I'm talking the worldly men of the world. Because the greatest are the ones of God, to me. The self-made man, a line without God. And that doesn't, now I'm going to explain another thing. Doesn't mean that there weren't believers. There wasn't mean today that these guys that have money. There's, believe me, there are some really great Christians that are great men. But I'll tell you, there is very, very few, very, very few that their heart belongs to God. So, and his sons, here, I'm going to read you through his line. His son Enoch meant dedicated. And I'll have these notes out too, so you don't have to try and write all these down, because some of these definitions are long. Irad means a wild ass, city of witness. Mahujal, and another thing, I don't count on these pronunciations. A lot of times when I'm trying to pronounce a name, I'm not sure what it is. I get, you know, it has a little Holy Bible app that will read to you. I'll go through that one little verse and then have it read to me, so I at least have a close thing. But it still doesn't mean I can pronounce it. Mahujal, blot ye out that jaw is God. Methusael, they died inquiring. They died who are of God. Lamech, why thus with thee unto bringing low? I'm not even sure what that means. Lamech had two wives. Ada meant ornament. And if you trust me, don't try and write these down. I'm going to read through, because what I want you to hear really is the definitions and what they mean or what they sound like to you. Because every one of this line is going to sound worldly. And then wait till we get to Seth, because it's crazy remarkable, right? He had another one, Zillah, meant tinkling or musical instrument. Lamech's Adad bore Jabel, which meant a stream. The father of such is dwell in tents, and of such have cattle. And I'm kind of cruising through Cain because this is not really the one we're going to be too worried about. Jubal, when the son's made, he will be carried. Zillah, bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. They were blacksmiths. Nama, Pleasantness. She was a sister of Tubal Cain. Cain's issue. This is a big, long, going through this stuff takes forever. You know, Jackson has that book. I know you've all seen it with the definitions of names. Violence, you'll notice this is one thing. Violence and murder follow in the line of Cain. The end of the line of Cain is recorded, is marked exactly as it began. Murder. When we get there and we talk about Lamech, and we're not going to talk about him very much, he said the same thing, really almost in defiance of God. You let my forefather get away with it. I should get away with it too. Crazy. When the sin offering lied at the door. That's what God told him. Told Cain, the sin lies at the door. We don't know how many years any of them lived, when they died, what they died of, and their age literally meant nothing to God. But you would assume that they lived long lives like Seth, because all of these lines of Seth lived all those years, and we get the same account for the number of people, so we've got to believe this. But they would also have been the ones mocking Noah. If all of those people, if everybody in Seth's line knew Noah, save two of them, and the one that was the closest to not knowing him but knew him was 84 years old, so he knew him. If those guys had all that chance to believe and all that chance to know, you know for a fact that these other guys were there to mock. There's a mystery of iniquity, and there's a mystery of godliness, and they grow, right? Same thing with these guys at that time. That line of Seth, as they were growing and believing God, there was a line on the other side growing that didn't. They're sons of man and they're sons of God. Thank the good Lord which side I'm on. The way of sacrifice leads to God. We saw it in Abel. The way of self-effort leads away from God. We see it in Cain. We think about that in our lives today. I was trying to make some notes in there real quick here this morning. I mean, what's the sacrifice today? Well, I'm telling you one thing. You're sacrificing your time, your travel time, your sacrificing your day to be here to do this. It's a sacrifice every Wednesday at Bible study. It's a sacrifice every Sunday. It's a sacrifice at home. If you think about this, and I don't mean it in a bad way, because this is the sacrifice that God likes. That's why he liked that firstling of the flock that Abel brought. That's something he could have favor on. He can have favor on us being here. He can have favor on us talking about this. He can have favor on us every time we listen to Michael preach. He can have favor on us every time that Brother Webb gives us a study. And we're here for it, right? How much of God do you really want? I asked some friends of this years ago, and one answer what I got was, I don't know, what's it going to do for me? And another answer from another friend says, I want everything he's got. That's the right answer. What do you want from God? All of it. He's got it. I want it. So let's talk about the line of Seth. The meaning of these guys is nuts. So Seth, if you read it up, we just talk about it as appointed. Because Christ formed in us. It's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. We talked about it at the beginning. He's an amazing type of the new birth and that life that lives in us now. Lest you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The first day of creation, when we talk about recreation, we talk about Genesis. And when I say this, we know that something happened prior. And earth was recreated, reborn, right? He was found in darkness, but that's not the way it was created. It was created to be inhabited. It was created green and lush and beautiful. But something happened. We're not going to get into that. But when it was reborn, let there be light. And then, phew, light, right? This was Seth. But remember now, the first day, the first few days of that recreation of that earth, they weren't very habitable days. They were weak. There wasn't anything happening on that planet. It was taking time for things to come out. It took time for the lands to appear, for the waters to come back. It took time for the first plant to show up. It took time for the first animals and fish and all that to start showing, until the culmination, really, as we start getting to the last days, man, okay? That was from our thing last year, but it's going to go through like this. Excuse me. Enos was the first son. If you look at your little spreadsheets, let me explain this to you real quick. The way it works, if you're looking there, and it says where it has the names on the left, when I put the year born, I'm not talking, this is a really good question, I'm not talking about AD, BC, or anything like this. Technically, that's year zero, right? Because Adam was the first man ever. So that's the way the years are working, starting from zero and moving down. The next one, it says age when son was born. If that is straight across from the names, that means Adam was 130 when his first son was born. This is a beauty thing about what God just said, too. When he started this, he did not bring up Cain and Abel. He went straight to Seth. God said this. Let me read that for you one more time, because I want to make sure that we understand what we're talking about this, because it wasn't his first one in here. He says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and his image and called his name Seth. That's why I brought up in the beginning of this. He did not mention Cain and Abel. It was a whole new creation, rebirth. It was put it this way. He wiped the slate clean and started over. He wasn't counting those other guys, okay? Does that make sense? So if he put the 130, then Enos, so you have the age when the son was born, going down there, and then right, the next column after that says total years on earth. That was actually the age that they'd lived to. So Adam would have been 930 years old in his whole life. Seth, 912, 905 for Enos. The next column says year died. That was, if we count the years from year zero, we know that if Adam had Seth at 130 years old and lived another 800 years after that, which scripture says he was 930 when he died, so the year he died would have been 930. And then, so each one of those in the year died coming down says that. The last column I put was because as we come towards the flood, this shows how many of those guys actually knew Noah. So on the right says the years with Noah. The minus means that Adam missed him knowing him by 126 years. Seth missed knowing Noah by 14 years. Enoch missed him by 69 years because he was translated and taken alive. He did not die. God took him. This is why he is a type of the bride to us. He's translated and taken because he walked with God. That's what scripture says, right? And again, when anyone gets up there and gets a chance to check this. This is what we do know. If we take this, the flood, and we count the years to the flood, if you go down to the year that they died, you'll see I have a row there that says the flood. That was year 1656. Methuselah died in the same year. So if Enoch represents the bride, the bride was taken before that. Methuselah, which would represent the rest of the church at that time, was taken before the tribulation. Or not before tribulation, I'm sorry. During it, before the middle of the week, let's say. So this is why I say this is what blows me away and how much I love what God has done. Look at how much time and how intricate and how complex all this can be and where all this sits. And God joys for us trying to know and to learn and know. All of this was taken straight from Scripture. Every one of these years is accounted for in these chapters. Every single day. And then if you take that and you add this up, and believe me, you're going to have to really go through this to see where it is and list everybody out to find out. But in Scripture, Methuselah makes it to the same year, and this thing ends up at 1656 for both of them. It's wild. Just insanity. Because that's how intricate and complex he can be. So, let me go back to our guys. Enos. This would be our day two. If we were talking creation, right? or Ephesus. Enos means frail man. After Enos is born, there is no more self-reliance, right? So if we come into this, if we're talking about ourselves spiritually, God wants us to be broken. He wants us to need him. He wants us to rely on him. He wants us to be weak, because then we're what? Strong. In this genealogy, we see no Cain, no Abel, only Seth. To me, if you look at that, God left out image. Because remember when I just read this, he said in 5:2, and Adam lived 130 years old. Let me back up. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Remember in the beginning when he said this the first time, he said in his, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. He didn't say both things here. And then he said down here with this, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. We are born babes in Christ. Frailty is exactly the way it should be described. We start out not knowing nothing. We sure as heck don't know him yet, but we believe. There was that light in us, then it starts to get brighter. We start to have a faith that wants to grow in us. As we start growing through that, we get what? Tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine, because we're just not sure yet. I mean, being rooted and grounded in faith means one simple thing: knowing that you cannot be taken from God, knowing that he's got you, knowing that there is nothing that can remove you from that. At this frail time is a time that we are the most easily deceived. We will buy anything that looks good, tastes good, smells good. Let's go. This is why these megachurches today are so popular, because it's concerts every week. That's literally what you're going to. You're going to go and you're going to sing, and it's going to be loud, and it's going to be dark, and it's going to be hopping. I went to one time just because of a friend that they were church planters. And they said, come on and help me. So I went and helped them. This has been a few years back, and helped them put in there. And these guys had big balloon balls like this. And during the worship service, they bounced the balls throughout the whole congregation. And I was looking at that going, ooh, I have got to get out of here quick. I have never seen anything like it. I've seen some wild stuff. I mean, I don't know if to concentrate on the music, the Lord, the ball. And everything had the black lights, so the balls were all bright looking. I don't know. Canaan was the next son. Canaan means their gain. Now think about this. This is what's remarkable about this. It starts out appointed, then frail man, and Canaan, their gain. In a spiritual sense, this is starting to be growth, right? We find out that, after we find out that we're frail, we learn it is gain for us to be weak. When I'm weak, I'm made strong. It's our spiritual growth that he wants. We're not hitting here. It takes all of us a while too, even to realize that we're not supposed to drag. It's not your job to drag anybody through this race. It's your job to be with them, to encourage, to help, to testify, to whatever it might be through this. It's that every single one of us, we are his workmanship, not our own, not our neighbors, not our friends, not the pastors, not anything. You are his workmanship. It's your relationship with him. And God will finish you, because he said he would. And I will stand on that. I will stand on that word. I will put that Bible right there and get on top of that thing and say, here I am. Let's go. Our desire to grow, we are starting to realize at that point in Canaan, when it says that their gain, our desire is to grow in the knowledge of Christ. That it is our race course. That it is our relationship. The next son is Mahalalel. It means the praise of God. Now think about this in our spiritual life. Frail. Then we start growing. And then we get to the where it's in their gain. This is, oh, I love this. And then we start to want to worship. Now we start to want to reach out from your faith. If you think about every single step that Peter told us, that Paul told us, and there's seven steps in all this. And I always get to that when we go that, you know, patience. And we get to godliness. I'm so far from the end of that that I don't even know. It's going to have to take God. It's going to have to take a little more time for him to come because I got a ways to go. But now I realize it doesn't matter at the time. He could do it like that. And I know my heart. I'm kidding. I know my heart. I love him. I love this. I love the privilege, the love that he must have for us to be here doing this. If you imagine, we talk about the faith. Imagine the faith that Noah had. Built an ark. And imagine the people in his face all the time. Now, he definitely would have had support from his family. These guys that didn't live it all the way to that flood. But the line of Cain, they're building cities, and he's building a boat on dry land. Yeah. I'm telling you, think about this. I'm going to build a bridge. That's like they always tell you. I'll sell you some beachfront property in Arizona. That's how it would look to those guys. Yeah, okay, dude, yeah. Just get a ticket. The mockery he must have endured and gone through and still completed the task that God had him on. Jared, that's a good name. It means let him contend. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on the armor of God. Hebrews 12, run with patience. Run with endurance. You know why? It's a long race. You don't sprint a marathon. Nobody sprints a marathon. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Enoch means dedicated. Are you getting what I'm saying with these names? Listen to the definitions of these names compared to those other guys. And then look at the spiritual growth and how it goes through with every single one of them going through there. Well, should we go in the other way? It's remarkable that the importance that God puts in these names. And how on this side, on Seth's line, it can be such a loving, embracing line, and then have so much truth to our own spiritual growth. The word dedicated tells the whole story in one word: dedicated. He walked and talked with God. He was taken to heaven without dying. Translated. This is why when we look through these steps and we see this, and it'll make more sense as we're getting towards the end of this. These guys represent where we're sitting in this. It represents the time. This church won't see that second. The bride won't see any of that. The bride won't see the Antichrist. The bride will be taken out. But there will be church parts of the church that go through the first part of this. But they won't see the second half. Methuselah represents that group, and Enoch represents that bridal group taken out before. Spiritually, Enoch represents the full overcomer, the bride company that shall be spared tribulation, Church of Philadelphia. I haven't even gotten to that point, but you could take all these churches and line them up with these guys, these same guys too. Every one of them fit. You can take the parables. Every one of them fits. It's the days of creation. Every one of them fits. It's nuts. Methuselah, his name means at his death it shall be seen. at his death, the waters come. There is divine accuracy in all of this. There is divine accuracy.
Before that,
at his death, it shall be seen. Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech, then lived another 782 years. When you put this all together and you start adding this up, brings us to the exact year of the flood. Methuselah lived 969 years, just a few short of 1,000, 31 years short of 1,000. And I don't know why that sticks out to me, other than that's about the age Jesus was and David was. And it doesn't matter, it probably doesn't. I'll tell you another thing about these numbers. People can get, and I have to be, I shouldn't say I have to be careful, I know better. But I've done, you know, you can get on and try and timeline Revelation, and you can do that for the rest of your life. And you will miss out studying all the grace and all the other stuff that we need to really be looking at. This number is going to get you nuts. And I can say this study had originally taken a long, long, long time to put together because you don't want to get caught up in just adding and checking numbers and checking this because, you know, pretty soon you're trying to figure, I know, and he's like everybody else, I know what day's coming. No, you don't. Because he said you don't. It's impossible. You can't know because only he knows. You know what he knows? To the nanosecond. Crazy. He could tell you if the nanosecond that he's coming to get that bride from the day that the flood started. It's wild. Methuselah figures the whole body of Christ who live on after the first company is translated. When the rest of the church is translated, the church age ends, then judgment comes to this age. When they go, judgment will fall on this world. That second half of that tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, is going to be ugly. It's going to be rough. We know this in Scripture. We've all studied it. We've had beautiful studies here over that it's going to be ugly. Ugly, ugly. But we won't be here. When our heavenly family is gone, that full measure of iniquity will have been reached. The climax of sin will have been met with the climax of God's vengeance. Just a few years after the church is gone, the great tribulation will have passed. This is why I tie this into Noah. Noah will represent Israel. Safe and in that and going through in an ark that no water can penetrate. Not a single molecule of judgment will get through that ark. Not one. It will sail, it will go through that. Well, it did. It did sail through that. With nothing happening. Notice the exactness of this word. Methuselah was 187 years old when Lamech was born. Lamech was 182 years old and was 369 years old when Noah was born. And the reason I'm saying this, and I'm talking about the exactness, and this is probably notes I put in for 600 years later, the flood came, which made Methuselah 969. This number came up a lot. The very age at which he died. The column I put back there for Noah was simply there because we were talking a little while ago. If you really look at this, it blows me away how these guys really knew each other. And then Jared just was going to show me one that he sent me that him and I were talking. This is an important thing to understand. Do you know that when Jesus was alive here, the sciences were well underway? We had already been watching the stars. We had already been gaining depth. We had been putting all this stuff together. Science was at work. I mean, people were mixing, and there's chemistry, and all this stuff was happening. If you really look at it, what the importance was, I want to see the circular one. I put one, and I'm not very good at spreadsheets, as you can see. But if all these guys knew each other, think about how that wraps around with Jesus, and like you said, the rest of the world, Plato, this stuff was happening. All the men that could think they could count on themselves and the men that were in the line of Seth to this day. We got guys out there right now thinking that we are a bunch of maniacal, wild, radical weirdos up here. You know what we're doing? Growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every one of these guys, I made a note here, everyone believed in the preaching of Noah and probably fully expected to get on that ship. Really, think about this. They believed him. He was building that boat, and he was putting up there because God told him. You think that God didn't give him some affirmation to them that this is coming? Think about this. Do we believe there's tribulation coming? Yes. Absolutely. Do we think that we are going to see it? No. Do we think that we're going to go in that first translated company? I sure hope so. But people were going to see it. How many people really truly believe that? These guys believed it. They were saved. Every single one in that line was saved from seeing it. Not one of them had to get on the boat. I mean, on the ark. Not one of them had to get on the ark. But do you think they were prepared to? Do you think that they thought they would? Do you think that they believed him enough that they said, yeah, we'll go, save us a seat? I guarantee you they did. Because we would. We know there's tribulation coming. And we know who the ark is. It's Jesus. Jesus is the ark, right? This whole, the way he ties all of this in. You know where I'm getting? I'm riding Jesus out of this thing, right? Lamech means strong man. He comes on the scene after Methuselah, represents the able man. Now, this is important. This is really not important, but it's cool to know. The man in Christ who will be developed at the end of the age. There are guys, there are people that when that bride's gone, you know, remember if you think back to what Jesus was telling us in the parable, something happened, right? Something happened, something seems different. There's a bridal company that just left and no one's really sure what happened. There's a whole lot of saints on this planet going, I'm not sure, but something changed. And people will call at that point on the name of the Lord. When the whole church leaves, trust me, there will be people calling on the name of the Lord. This will continue to happen. Scripture tells us that. You missed the good ship, but there will be. Israel will testify and convert nations at one time. We as a church convert. We go out and we talk, and it's to individuals. It's to places like this. I can't even believe, can't wait to see, because we're going to get to see it, that how Israel will convert entire nations to the Lord at once. That's power. And you know who it's going to be coming from? From the very people that killed him. They killed their own brother, Joseph. Right? Think about this. They will convert entire nations. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Lord. That's Jesus. I mean, and all of this, we see not in this story, but we see it when we did the study last year on the 7 days, right? And the 7th day, he rested. That'll be the age. So, all right. I think we probably... What time do you have, Nita? I don't want to get in trouble with you.
Yeah, okay. It's 11:22.
All right. Let's do this. I would love to worship him. And I don't know if we have someone that can... I know we do, because everyone can play the piano in this congregation. Or we could sing, and I would like to see, well, we'll do Christ My, maybe we can talk him into Christ My Prize tonight. Maybe. Well, you're going to help me come into it. Let's stand up and worship and just thank the Lord, please.